I've always meant to tell you, Red. If it wasn't for you, I don't think I would have survived the war.
Yeah, we were there for each other. That's what got us all through that ordeal.
You know, I appreciate every day I still have on this earth. My children, the grandkids, they all turned out so well. They mean everything to me.
You raised them right, Rick. Good kids. And oh, I'm sorry about Sadie's passing. She was a good woman.
Yes, I miss her terribly.
I know how you feel, but I'm so glad I have my mistress.
And you mean?
Let's go see her.
Wow, Red, I love this 68 Coleman. Still in pristine condition, and you are still a crazy ass behind the wheel.
All thanks to Perfection Auto Works.
Let Perfection Auto Works be your lifetime friend. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
At RPM Law, they speak military. Partner Andrew Michelle served 24 years as both a Navy aviator and an Air Force combat search and rescue pilot. RPM Law understands the complexities specific to military divorces and family law, including long-distance custody arrangements and the division of military retirement. Don't go it alone. Retain a wingman. Call RPM Law today for a free consultation. 520-740-1802. That's 520-740-1802. Learn more by visiting rpmlawaz.com.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. A Bustos Media Station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. The death toll in Morocco after that massive earthquake is now up to more than 1,300, and a huge search and rescue operation is underway. The government is working to get food, supplies, and medical care to people. The World Health Organization says some 300,000 are affected. Oliver Conway is at the BBC.
The 6.8 magnitude quake hit at around 11 p.m. local time and was relatively shallow, making it more destructive. According to the authorities, more than 1,000 people have been killed. Many villages in the remote area where it struck have been flattened. Residents have been using bare hands to try to find people still trapped under the rubble. Landslides have blocked the main roads, making it difficult for ambulances to get there.
World leaders gathered in India for the G20 summit, including President Biden, are working on a long list of issues, including the Russian war on Ukraine. Spokesman John Kirby at the National Security Council on Mr. Biden's agenda.
Countries throughout Africa, Latin America, and elsewhere that have absolutely felt the impact of Putin's war. Food insecurity, energy insecurity, rising prices and inflation. Now, there are other factors that have contributed to that, but there's absolutely no question that the war in Ukraine is a factor. And that's one of the reasons why the president wants to focus so much of his energy today on economic cooperation.
In Pennsylvania, law enforcement officials are saying they will find that convicted killer who escaped from prison 10 days ago. Still, people in the area are keeping watch.
The escape of convicted murderer Danilo Cavalcante is the only thing on the minds of many neighbors around the search area.
The guy's got to be dehydrated. I mean, the only water source is the Brandywine River, and I'm surprised he's not sick by now.
State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens says there were two confirmed sightings of the fugitive on Friday, and he's confident Cavalcante will soon be found.
We have been taking a very methodical approach to this whole search.
But despite reassurances from police, neighbor Stacy Crossley is worried.
It's scary because I have two kids. I don't think he'll go after any kids, but I don't know. He's crazy.
Hadass Kuznets for CBS News, Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
Forecasters are keeping an eye on Hurricane Lee, even though it is not expected to make landfall. Kelly Cass at the Weather Channel says it could still cause some damage, though.
Winds between 130, 140 as we go into Monday and Tuesday. By Thursday, it's still just to the east of the Bahama Islands, so it's really slowing down significantly, and therefore, there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of where it goes from there.
The number of missing from those Maui wildfires now stands at 66, more than a month since flames tore through the historic Lahaina area. The death toll is still 115. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Attention taxpayers, ready for some bad news? With $80 billion in new funding from Congress, the IRS has launched their most aggressive hiring campaign ever to ramp up enforcement. If you're ignoring your taxes, don't delay another minute, because your paycheck, your bank account, even your home or business could already be at risk. Now, Here's the good news. Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm, can get to work immediately helping to protect you from the IRS. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their tax attorneys and licensed professionals are experts at resolving tax problems. Let them help determine if you qualify for the Fresh Start Initiative or other powerful IRS tax assistance programs. Take control. Call Optima Tax Relief now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit Optima Tax.
Santa Aurelia LLC pays for this show. The views expressed by the hosts and guests on Inside Track are their own and may not reflect those of KVOI, but they should.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
Hope I die before I get old.
Hello, insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, coming to you live from my underground bunker in Coronado, California, where the men are strong, the women are good-looking, and all the parents think their kids are way above average. This is my last show here in Coronado before next summer, and I'm welcoming all of you to an action-packed pre-Constitution Day edition of Inside Track. Eb is on assignment, so I will be going solo for today's show. I'm hoping that you aren't bummed out by the high temperatures. Believe it or not, it's actually going to be over 80 degrees here today. I have great empathy for anybody who's out working in the garden. That's where I was hoping to be after the show today. I think I'm going to take it easy after the show. So thanks for joining us for today's special Article 3 pre-Constitution Day weekend show for Inside Track. In hour one, we'll hear from Ramon Bueller from the Madison Coalition. Our topic is Supreme Court packing by the Democrats at the Supreme Court and its danger to our constitutional republic on the eve of this year's celebration of our nation's wondrous Constitution. In hour two, friend of the show, my former RNC Rules Committee counsel and acclaimed super lawyer, James Bopp, joins us to talk about plans by pro-abortion advocates promoting abortion right up to birth in Missouri. And if we have time, after we get finished talking to Jim, I'll share some thoughts on breaking news stories to close out the show today. So get comfortable, buckle up, and stick around. We have a great show for you today. As always, I'm thankful for producer Tom, who is running the board. He'll be taking your relevant calls for our guests today at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Eb and I want to remind you to please support our great Inside Track sponsors, Eric Rudin and his professional team at Essential Pest. You can reach him at 886-3029. Jamie Kipper from Tucson Iron and Metal Retail. Call her or Craig at 209-1576. Also supporting Inside Track is my great co-host, the aforementioned Mr. Wilkinson from Wilkinson Wealth Management. Call for Eb at 777-1911. Lastly, but certainly not leastly, I'm very pleased that my Mercedes SUV is now maintained by our newest sponsor, Perfection Auto Works. Call Mike Emery for your auto needs at 323-8650. He and his great technical team are here to make autos great again. Eb and I support all of our great locally owned, family-run businesses who sponsor Inside Track. So should you. Well, Tom, I hope you have Ramon on the line. If we do, let's get to our special guest for hour number one, Ramon Bueller from the Madison Coalition. Great, Ramon, you're there.
I am.
Oh, great. Ramon Bueller is the national director of the Madison Coalition, working to restore a balance of state and federal power. And now, with resolutions passed in 29 state legislative chambers to persuade Congress to propose Regulation Freedom Amendment to require that major new federal regulations be approved by Congress. But today we'll be speaking with Mr. Bueller about Keep Nine to prevent Democrat plans to subvert the U.S. Constitution by packing the Supreme Court. Mr. Bueller served as Newt Gingrich's first committee counsel, and from that was from 1989 to 2003, and again in 2007 as elections counsel to the Committee on House Administration, handling election issues for House Republicans. As counsel, as counsel, his work included promoting legislation to protect election integrity, overseeing the regulatory activities of the FEC, and investigating allegations of election fraud in contested elections for Congress. Prior to his service in the House, Bueller worked as an attorney and political consultant in California. I've known Ramon for a number of years, and he has always been working on various projects to help this great country. Greetings, Ramon. Great to have you back on Inside Track.
Well, thank you, Bruce, so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So we tried to get you on a few weeks ago. It didn't quite work out. I appreciate you may be missing out on the cocktail hour back east on this Saturday afternoon. I want to ask you what you think about this opinion that was recently expressed in Politico. The author says, no one stole any Supreme Court seats. The U.S. Senate decides whether and when to confirm a president's nominee. The Senate majority under minority leader Mitch McConnell decided to keep the seat that came open after the death of Antonin Scalia vacant pending the 2016 election. If Hillary Clinton had won that election, the way most people expected, there would have been no stolen seat, as they call it. The same applies if Democrats had won the seat in had won the Senate in 2018. They would have been able to block former President Trump's appointment of Barrett after Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. So why is the left so incensed about the Supreme Court, and why are they trying to adopt FDR's plans to pack the Supreme Court again?
Well, Bruce, that's a great question. And I think this is not just about one Supreme Court seat or two. And it's not really even about what the ideological makeup of the Supreme Court is. The left, the modern left in this country, wants absolute power. And absolute power in our political system you get by controlling the White House and Congress in the and the courts at the same time. And if you look at what the left is doing, and don't just look at their policies, but look at their actual program for seizing power, right? They have been working for the last generation or two to undermine checks and balances on the abuse of power. And what they want is not an independent Supreme Court that serves as a check on the abuse of power. They want a Supreme Court that will be the handmaiden of politicians and will basically rubber stamp whatever the Democrats want to do in Congress. And so we have an existential threat. If the left gets control of Congress and the White House and the courts at the same time, the result will be near tyranny, right? They will be able to do anything they want. And so if they add four justices to the Supreme Court the next time they win a majority, which is their plan, they won't just convert the court into a liberal institution. They will convert the court into a rubber stamp for what Democrats in Congress want, and they will do it permanently. And that's the threat. And it's not just a threat that conservatives ought to be worried about. It's a threat that Americans, wherever they are on the political spectrum, ought to be worried about. That's why we're supporting this amendment called the Keep Nine Amendment to the Constitution, which would take away the power of Congress to pack the Supreme Court.
Court packing is definitely on the ballot, I think, in 2024. If the Democrats do win control of Congress and the White House, and they end up packing the court, what do you think their first target might likely be?
Well, it's worth thinking about the strategy that the left has. First, their strategy, obviously, if they can take, if they can pack the court as early as 2025, they'll do it. But their strategy is bigger than that. They know that historically, over the last century, Democrats have won majorities in almost every decade of the last century. And so they only have to wait until their next majority. But if they were to get a majority in 2025, the first step would be to get rid of the Senate filibuster. The second step would be to admit D.C. and perhaps Puerto Rico as new states to pad their majority in the Senate. And then they would add four new seats to the Supreme Court. And then where would they go? I think their first target would be to destroy protections against election fraud all over the country. Some of your listeners may know that a few years ago, the Supreme Court upheld the requirement of a photo ID for voting as constitutional. The left disagrees with that decision. They want to strike down voter ID requirements all over the country. They want to impose national control over elections so they can legalize ballot harvesting in every state, so they can unleash unlimited mail voting with no safeguards against fraud. They want to essentially corrupt the election system with a federal takeover. And that may be the most dangerous thing that they do. But it goes far beyond that. They want to get rid of the Electoral College. They want to impose a wealth tax. They want to basically empower regulators to regulate and intimidate by decree with no checks and balances. They have a whole cultural agenda ranging from abortion to LGBTQX rights to just about every other fantasy that the left has. All of them right now are blocked by a constitutionalist Supreme Court, which is one of the reasons the left wants to get rid of it.
Congressman Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin has reintroduced a constitutional amendment that would prevent court packing by capping the size of the Supreme Court at 9 justices. Senators Kennedy and Cruz have introduced constitutional amendment to prevent Supreme Court packing. Have they adopted the keep 9 propositions that you've set forth? And if not, how are those two pieces of legislation different?
Right. So there is the Keep 9 Amendment is the main legislative vehicle in the House and the Senate. There are now 30 senators who have endorsed or co-sponsored the Keep 9 Amendment in the Senate. In the last Congress, there were 182 House members that endorsed the Keep 9 language in the House. That language is very simple. It is simply the Supreme Court of the United States shall be composed of 9 justices. What that means is that Congress cannot either increase or decrease the number of justices for any reason. And preserving the number 9 and taking away the power of Congress to manipulate that number is our goal. Now, there is another version, and I think this is Gallagher's version, and it was championed by Senator Rubio in the Senate, which would allow Congress to shrink the size of the Supreme Court, but prohibit Congress from increasing the size of the court. And our view is that if we are going to get an amendment done, if we're actually going to get 2/3 of the House and 2/3 of the Senate to propose an amendment, it's got to be simple, and it's got to take away Congress's power to increase or decrease the size of the court. We have bipartisan support for the Keep 9 Amendment. We have the RNC's endorsement. We have Tea Party Patriots' endorsement. We have Freedom Works' endorsement, Americans for Limited Government, a lot of different groups. Even the American Farm Bureau has endorsed the concept. The Keep 9 Amendment was first introduced in Congress by a Democrat. The group that wants an amendment that would allow Congress to shrink the size of the court is much smaller, and they have no bipartisan support. So I think what we've seen over the last couple of years is a gradual coalescing of support in the House and the Senate for the Keep 9, take away the power of Congress approach. And so that's the one that we think has the best chance of being adopted. And it's also the one that makes the best political issue. It's a great thing to ask any candidate running for office. Do you think we ought to keep the court at 9? And when they say yes, say, well, would you support a constitutional amendment to keep the court at 9? And then if they don't say yes, they're in trouble. If you start talking about whether Congress should be allowed to shrink the size of the court, you're down a rabbit hole, and it's not necessarily to our political advantage.
Ramon, we need to take a quick commercial break so we can pay the Bustos Media mega machine. Stand by. We'll come back in just a couple of minutes after we hear these words from our great supporters.
Thank you, Bruce.
Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard. So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
It is the year 2178. Earth is no more. The greatest fears have taken place. An alien ship from the Andromeda Galaxy have discovered the dark planet and sending a team to unearth what life might have been like.
What have you found? Your Excellency, we found images on a strip of celluloid of what these humans were like. We present this to you.
Quiet.
I see a violent people. No wonder they ceased to exist. What else did you find?
This must have been their mode of transportation. It is what they refer to as an automobile.
Does it function?
We shall show you.
Any information?
There is evidence. It was maintained at Perfection Auto Works, 1046 North Beverly in Tucson, Arizona.
Interesting. Evidence that not everyone of Earth was a stooge.
As long as Earth is still here, have your car maintained at Perfection Auto Works for out-of-this-world service. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
This is Ev Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track, brought to you by Mr. Wilkinson, who you just heard. Perfection Auto Works, Essential Pests, Tucson Iron and Metal Retail. We're continuing our chat with Ramon Bueller from the Keep Nine folks at Madison Coalition. So Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, Ramon, leads the charge to reintroduce the Judiciary Act, which would add 4 seats to the Supreme Court. He said on the steps of the Supreme Court recently, the only question is, are we going to stand up to the bullies? Are we going to try to restore the balance that did exist before they engage in this historical thievery of 2 Supreme Court seats? I don't think we have a choice. Now, those are pretty hyperbolic words to be using. Who are the bullies here? I mean, look, the right took it on the chin for 30 years or more from a very left-packed Supreme Court. And this goes back and forth all the way through history, but nobody has ever accused either side of being a bully until these folks now.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because for the entire history of the Republic, the Senate and the White House have fought over Supreme Court appointments. And, you know, we've had numerous instances where the Senate has blocked or refused to consider appointments from the White House. And we've also had instances where the Senate accelerated the confirmation of judges it wanted, particularly at the end of a president's term. So these are not new things. And for the left to say that because the Senate exercised its prerogative to hold a hearing or not hold a hearing, or the Senate exercised its prerogative to accelerate the confirmation of a Supreme Court judge, to call that court packing or to call that stolen seats is, I think, disinformation. And we have to counter that. But there's a broader issue. And, you know, I grew up watching West Side Story, and the tragedy of West Side Story is what started as a fist fight became a knife fight and people got killed. And if the left wants to escalate this fight over Supreme Court justices into a fight over changing the number of justices, it won't end with the left adding four justices. We'll end up like Venezuela with dozens of justices as each successive majority seeks to pack the court. And the court, as I said before, will become not a watchdog to guard against the abuses of politicians, but a lapdog that basically empowers them. And that's the battle we're fighting. And I think as listeners, you know, anybody who's listening to this program is thinking about what's happening to this country and asking, what can we do? What can we do to make a difference? And my appeal to you as listeners is reach out to us. Reach out to us at www.keep9.org or email me at leaders@madisoncoalition.org, because we have an agenda for action in every state and every congressional district in this country, and we'd like to get people like you listeners to this program involved.
We have a caller, Charles Heller. Please go ahead with your question or comment for Roman Bueller.
Mr. Bueller, I'd like to comment that I think, well, and I think what you just answered, Bruce, may have actually stolen the thunder of the comment. That's okay. I think what would happen if the left gained control of all three branches simultaneously is a very fast march through the Bill of Rights, beginning immediately with the first, hopscotching directly to the second to decimate it, and going on through everything except maybe the Third Amendment, and going especially wrecking the Tenth Amendment, and probably doing a number on the Eighth Amendment against cruel and unusual punishment as well. I'd love to hear your comment about that, and I have one follow-up when you're done.
Thanks, Charles.
Great. Well, I think you're absolutely right. The Bill of Rights, I mean, the left's enemy is our checks and balances on the abuse of power. So they certainly want to get rid of the Supreme Court and its power to limit the authority of the president to censor big tech. You may notice today there was a decision by the Fifth Circuit that said the White House had engaged in unconstitutional suppression of free speech. The left certainly doesn't want the Supreme Court interfering with the president's ability to suppress free speech. And of course, everybody knows that this Supreme Court has been a champion for protecting innocent human life. The left wants to reverse that. This Supreme Court has been a champion for ending racial discrimination in the form of racial quotas. The left wants to end that. Obviously, this administration wants to decimate Second Amendment rights. The Supreme Court is a check on that. The left wants to get rid of the Supreme Court, because they don't believe in the Second Amendment as a check on their power. So it doesn't matter whether it's Second Amendment rights or First Amendment rights or the power of regulators. You're right. Every element of the Bill of Rights is at stake if the left packs the court.
Charles, you have a follow-up question?
A follow-up question. Used to be, you know, circa, say, 1971, too, that the left was almost an absolute backer of the right to free speech vis-a-vis the Pentagon Papers. And what today has happened is they've come around 180 degrees to oppose their point of their own point previous point of view. What happened? Where did the shift come? And where is the fulcrum point where we can interrupt that for direct action and to preserve what was originally the country was intended to be? And I'll listen on to your answer on the radio.
Sure. Well, in the 1960s, when the left was championing free speech, they were the rebels. They wanted free speech because they were trying to advocate change. Today, the left is, in many cases, in control of the levers of power, and they want to suppress dissent. And this is what always happens with revolutionaries. They start out talking about freedom, and then when they seize power, they want to suppress dissent. And the left is clearly in the business of suppressing dissent, whether it's threatening regulations to put people out of business who oppose them, or threatening to suppress free speech, as the Fifth Circuit found that they do. And so the question is, what do we do about it, right? We can see this happening. And I'm sure many of you receive, as I do, dozens of requests every day to support politicians. And I'm not saying it's not important to support politicians, but if you look at American history, advocates of limited government are in charge some of the time, some of the time they're not. So we need safeguards. We need checks and balances to protect freedom, protect limited government, protect liberty, not only when our friends are in charge of the government, but when our adversaries are in charge of the government. And so I believe that our strategy has to be to focus public opinion on specific reforms that will prevent the abuse of power. And if we can make an amendment like the Keep Nine Amendment, as well known as, for example, Obamacare or the Patriot Act, neither of which are legislation I particularly liked, but if we can make the Keep Nine Amendment well known to the American people, we can force politicians to tell us where they stand and defeat politicians who won't support it. And in Arizona, we've got a classic case, one of the most important Senate races in the country, and yet we still do not know where Kyrsten Sinema stands on the Keep Nine Amendment. And we should make sure that she and every candidate running for the Senate in Arizona tells voters where they stand on the amendment to prohibit Congress from packing the court.
Yeah, that's a great point. And as you say, Ramon, court packing is unpopular in most areas, not where Ed Markey lives, where 58% actually support it. So Democrats in close races have sort of perfected the strategy of saying that they oppose court packing, but refusing to say where they stand on the Keep Nine Amendment. But there's also probably some Republicans who haven't given a specific answer on this as well. What say you on Republicans that are mum so far on this issue?
Well, it's fascinating. I think, I worked as a lawyer for Congress for many years, and politicians have a lot of things on their plate. And so they tend not to take positions on specific things until they're asked by their constituents to do that. I am deeply concerned that not a single Republican presidential candidate has yet said the words, "I support the Keep Nine Amendment." They are all right now in alignment, perfect alignment, with Joe Biden, who says he's opposed to court packing but won't support an amendment to ban it. And what we need to do is find a couple of leaders in the presidential candidate field who will say, "I support the Keep Nine Amendment, and I challenge every other candidate to do it." Now, there's no reason for them not to do this. The RNC has endorsed the Keep Nine Amendment. We have more than 200 Republican members of Congress who support it. Former Reagan Attorney General Ed Meese was one of the architects of this process. So we've got plenty of conservative support. Now, I don't see anybody out there saying the amendment's bad. But what we need to do is go from "we oppose court packing" to "we want to ban it." And when we do that, then we can contrast our position with Democrats like Joe Biden, who say they're against court packing, but don't really mean it because they won't support an amendment to ban it.
So when the left talks about Justice Scalise or Justice Thomas and certain abuses of taking trips from powerful people. Of course, they never mention that the liberal judges or the leftist judges on the court have done the same thing themselves. But there's an awful lot of dirty politics that's being played, a lot of, let's just say that, efforts to delegitimize the courts. How is all of this designed in the goal of court packing and that court packing would you know, resolve this? Because, A, there's no limits. There's no ethics policies that the judges have to follow, but they've been known to be pretty virtuous individuals. But, you know, how is this all going to end if the left keeps delegitimizing the Supreme Court?
Well, the important thing is to ask why all of a sudden in the last year or two, since the Supreme Court has shown a tendency to stand up for its view of what the Constitution means,
right?
Why is the left suddenly interested in ethics? And the answer is the left isn't interested in ethics. They weren't interested in ethics 10 years ago. They're interested in it now for a very simple reason. They want to delegitimize the court so that when they decide to pack it, they hope to have the support of at least their wing of the American population. And I think our answer, right, the Supreme Court, we know from the comments of justices, the Supreme Court is working on making its ethics code more transparent. That's fine. But what we ought to do is ask every single leftist who says they want to make the court more legitimate by improving its ethics, we got a challenge. If you want to make the court strengthen the Supreme Court, will you join us in supporting the Keep Nine Amendment to preserve the current number of nine justices and make sure that court packing never destroys the legitimacy of the court? And what you'll find universally, I think, on the left is that they are not interested in strengthening the legitimacy of the court. They're not interested in strengthening the independence of the court. They want to tear it down. And we've got to expose their real intentions, because what they want us to do, they want us to spend all our time talking about court ethics and ignore their long-term plan to destroy the court by packing it. So we have to expose them for the court packers they are and make them come out of their hiding place. And if people understand that people who are attacking the Supreme ethics of the Supreme Court really want to pack it, then they can make a decision about supporting the Keep Nine Amendment to make sure it never happens. And I think the court will take care of its ethics concerns without the help of these leftists.
Roman, we're going to need to take our second break for the hour, our final one for the hour. So we're going to go ahead and do that real quickly, and then we'll be right back with Roman Bueller. We're talking about the Keep Nine Amendment. You're listening to Inside Track. No station flipping. We'll be right back. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
Essential pest control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
Smooth takeoff. Always thankful for the crew.
You doing okay today?
I had to skip breakfast. A little hungry.
Copy that. I got your back. Where's he going?
Hi, can I take your order?
Yeah, I'll take two double chubby chucks, two fries, and two double chocolate shakes to go, of course.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Colonel, I'm back.
That was fast, Captain.
Fast food.
All right, the question is, how are you going to get my order to me?
Through the probe and drogue.
But, Captain, that's what they use for refueling.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Thanks, Captain. I got it, and it's still warm. Let me tell you, I owe you.
Well, sir, you're invited to the barbecue this weekend, and bring a prime rib.
No problem, Captain. I'll see you Sunday, and God bless the USA.
At Perfection Auto Works, we appreciate and honor those that give themselves to protect our freedom. From your F-16 to your F-150, 323-8650, and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. Some people view market declines as a time to panic. Good news, that's wrong. Markets have never gone down and then failed to come back to create new highs, and this time it's not different. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call Eb Wilkinson at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Bruce Ash here with our special guest for the remainder of the hour today, Ramon Bueller. We're talking the Keep Nine Amendment to limit the number of Supreme Court justices at nine. Pretty easy to remember that. Ramon, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and the Madison Coalition on this very important matter.
Right. So if people are interested in the Keep Nine Amendment to ban Supreme Court backing, they should reach out to our website at www.keep9.org, or they can email me directly at leaders@madisoncoalition.org. And basically, we're asking people to do three things. One is reach out to the elected officials you can vote for and ask them where they stand on the Keep Nine Amendment to ban court packing. And second, help us to spread the word that there is a Keep Nine Amendment out there that would end the risk of court packing. And third, ask other people you know to get involved in this effort. We have a leadership conference call every week with grassroots leaders from all over the country. We invite listeners who are interested in becoming more involved, email us at leaders@madisoncoalition.org and participate in this effort in person. We cannot do this without the support of grassroots activists all over the country. And that's why I'm on this program, to find people who want to save this country, who want to save our constitutional republic, and who understand that keeping an independent Supreme Court is a critical part of that process.
Ramon, I think he'll enjoy this. This is from a reader at the Boston Globe who actually opposes court packing. Adding additional justices to the court, so-called court packing, is dangerous and destabilizing. It would prompt an escalation of further packing the court when Republicans can do so. You talked about this earlier. This overt politicization of the court would actually legitimize it, creating essentially a super legislature for aggrieved groups and individuals who cannot get their way with democratically elected legislature, meaning the Congress. Very bad idea. This came from Ted L. in Newburyport. Hooray for Ted L. He actually is a guy in Massachusetts who's got his head on straight, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. And we need people like that all over the country. It's extraordinary, I think, how willing editors of newspapers are to publish letters like this. And we need letters that not only oppose court packing, but talk about the Keep Nine Amendment as the antidote to court packing. It doesn't do any good to diagnose the disease if you don't have a cure. And so we think that the Keep Nine Amendment is the long-term cure, but more people need to hear about it. And that's where people like listeners to this program can be really helpful.
So the historians have conjectured that FDR wanted to pack the court to keep his programs protected from Supreme Court justices declaring them unconstitutional.
Right.
In the 2000s and here in the 2020s decade, now that there is a conservative majority, now these bullies, these conservative bullies, are actually interpreting the Constitution, not all the time, but trying to observe the tenets of the Constitution. Now, again, the left wants to pat the Supreme Court, essentially to, as you say, get rid of the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. How difficult is it going to be to get the two-thirds majorities in both houses of Congress to actually get this done? I mean, does it take a constitutional crisis? Does it an act of God? How do we get from here to there?
Well, luckily, we've got 27 examples of amendments being proposed by Congress and then ratified by three-quarters of the states. And in our recent memory, we had the women's right to vote, we had prohibition, we had the repeal of prohibition, we had the presidential term limits, and most recently, we had the 18-year-old vote. And all of these were very, very simple changes. When they became widely known, they were very popular when they were adopted. And politicians, when they are faced with a widely known popular initiative, generally will support it. And so our task, we've already seen surveys that showed by a 2 or 3 to 1 margin, voters would support the Keep Nine Amendment to keep the court at 9 justices. So we don't have to persuade voters that we're doing the right thing. We just have to educate them that there is an amendment and then teach them how to demand that they get an answer from their elected officials. So we can create the kind of public awareness that a woman's right to vote or presidential term limits have. We can build a coalition that will force Congress to propose this amendment. It starts with unanimity among Republicans, and we're well along the way to doing that. And then we need to have overwhelming support among independents, with the polls show we would have. And then we've got to persuade in Congress 1/3 of the Democrats. And, you know, I look at the Social Security issue. And for years, Republicans toyed with the idea of reducing Social Security benefits. And the Democrats persuaded Republicans that that was the path to political disaster. So Republicans don't talk about that anymore. So my theory is, if public opinion can force Republicans can give up the idea of cutting Social Security, same kind of public pressure can persuade Democrats to give up the idea of packing the court, which would cause far more damage to the American Republic.
Roman, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here for the rest of our time together today.
Sure.
I'd like you to talk about the last session that concluded in the Supreme Court and the decisions that all came out early in the summer. Give our listeners, in your opinion, not necessarily what they're talking about in the press, but your opinion on the two most important decisions that came out of the court and how that affects rights for citizens here in this country.
Well, I think that the decision that attracted the most attention that is going to reverberate is the decision basically striking down racial quotas at universities. And, you know, we've had this experiment for years that somehow discriminating on the basis of race would cure discrimination on the basis of race. And that has now been ended. And I think that decision not only fundamentally restores, I think, justice to the country, but it's going to fundamentally realign people's thinking. There are a lot of folks who understand that if you don't have a colorblind system, that, you know, they're going to be at the short end of the stick. So I think that's a very important decision. And I'm going to change your hypo for a minute, because there was a very, very important decision that came out today that I think is going to end up being one of the most important decisions that the Supreme Court will have to take up. And that is, today, the Fifth Circuit ruled that the White House had unconstitutionally suppressed free speech by telling tech companies that they shouldn't post certain information about the COVID epidemic. And the fact that the Supreme Court has ruled that White House threats to tech companies is a violation of the First Amendment is going to fundamentally reshape the way that information is processed in this country if that decision is upheld. And the left understands that their power to censor speech by threatening private companies is at stake. And if this Supreme Court upholds that Fifth Circuit decision, it will be a huge blow for liberty and free speech. And I think that may end up being one of the most important, if not the most important decision of 2023, even though it is not yet a Supreme Court decision.
How likely might that be brought up to the Supreme Court to be heard in this upcoming session?
I don't know if it's going to be appealed, and it can be appealed and heard in the October session. It may well be appealed and heard in next year. So this is going to be something that's going to come up. It's going to be argued in an election year. I think that the most fundamental decisions that the Supreme Court is going to make over the next few years are about regulation. We are moving from a system where elected officials make the rules to a system where unelected bureaucrats make the rules. And as you mentioned earlier, I think one of the things we have to do as conservatives is change the Constitution to require that regulations be approved by Congress. We have to take away the power of unelected bureaucrats, just like we're trying to take away the power of politicians to pack the court. But until we get an amendment like that done, we're going to need a Supreme Court that curbs regulators. And this Supreme Court has done a fantastic job of saying that regulations have to be things that were contemplated by Congress. The regulators can't simply make up rules that Congress never intended and impose them unilaterally without the approval of Congress.
So just a real quick joiner to that, because we have Mark waiting to ask you a question. I want to make sure we get to his question. Don't you think on the issue with respect to regulations being, now a matter for the court to talk about, isn't that skepticism of these regulators who are unelected officials who basically are the fourth branch of government these days? Isn't there now this distrust of regulators and unelected elites who make these decisions? And might there be some comprehensive reform that we might see as a result of this public sentiment against what's been going on the last few years?
Well, I think we're at a moment, I would call it a Reagan moment, when conservatives and advocates of limited government have to decide whether they are okay with the status quo that leaves power in Washington, or whether they want leaders who will commit to taking power away from politicians and bureaucrats in Washington. And again, I'm waiting to see some of the presidential candidates to see if they will start talking about how do we take power away from Washington, giving it back to the people. They were the first words of Trump's inaugural address in 2017, but we haven't recently heard politicians talk about how they're going to do it. So one way you could do it, of course, is by taking away the power of bureaucrats to rule by decree. That would be a constitutional amendment to require that regulations be approved by Congress. You mentioned the Regulation Freedom Amendment at the beginning of this program that has some pretty broad support. Another strategy is to take away the power of politicians to pack the court. That's the Keep Nine Amendment. And maybe down the road, we could even get an amendment that would take away the power of politicians to borrow us into bankruptcy, some kind of balanced budget or fiscal discipline amendment. And I think taking power away from Washington is a theme that all conservatives and advocates of limited government ought to be talking about. And the Keep Nine Amendment is probably the first step in doing that.
We have a caller, Mark, who has been very faithfully waiting on the line for a question. Thanks for calling in, Mark. Do you have a question or comment for Roman Bueller?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Sorry, my voice is impaired today. Two questions. First one is having a sort of a litmus test on securing the 10 amendments or the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, like a constitutional litmus test for any Supreme Court or any justice in the United States that they need to be upholding our Constitution. And the second question is a term limit on Supreme Court justices. As an example, I don't know what this is, worthy or not, but an 18-year limit, and every 2 years somebody drops off of the court to be replaced by somebody new.
Lamont, what are your thoughts about both those questions?
I think you're right about the importance of the 10th Amendment. The problem is that the 10th Amendment is kind of vague, and it means what justices think it means. So
what I mean is the first 10 amendments.
The Bill of Rights.
Bill of Rights, yes.
So, you know, I think there's no easy way to evaluate the qualities of a judge. I think what you really need to do if you're looking at a nominee is look at their writings over a period of time and say, are these judges that believe that the court has an important role in checking the authority and the abuses of government, or are these judges that are more willing to just defer to whatever politicians want? But there's no easy answer. When you talk about term limits, we have in our movement people who think term limits is a great idea, and we have people in our movement, people who think that term limits is an absolutely horrible idea. And so what the left wants to do is talk about term limits because they don't want people to be talking about what they really want to do, which is pack the court. Term limits are a long-term proposition because it would require a constitutional amendment. There's no consensus right now on what kind of term limits would be adopted. So I think it's great to debate term limits. But anybody who starts to start a conversation about term limits, I would say, well, okay, we'll talk about term limits. But first, I want to know, do you think we ought to have a constitutional amendment that limits the Supreme Court to 9 justices? And if they don't favor that amendment, then what you know they really want to do is to undermine the independence of the court by manipulating the number. And then we understand where they're coming from. And I think that's what you have to do when you're promoting a specific amendment like this. A lot of people want to change the subject. We can't allow them to change the subject. Do you want 9, or do you want Congress to manipulate the number?
Ramon Bueller from the Madison Coalition. Ramon, thanks very much for joining us today. Again, tell our listeners one last time how we can hear more about Keep the 9 and support the efforts to save the court packing.
Right.
You can go to the left.
You can go to www.keep9.org, or you can email me at leaders@keep9.org. And I'd be happy to talk to any of the listeners of this program about how they can get involved, about how they can save an independent Supreme Court and help save our American constitutional republic.
You know, Ramon, maybe we'll have you on again soon because I'd love to talk with you about the health of our Constitution, this being Constitution Day coming up next weekend. It'd be great to have done that today, but we ran out of time, unfortunately. But thanks very much for calling in today, being a guest for this first hour. Insiders, stay tuned for hour number 2 on this pre-Constitution Day edition of Inside Track. Super lawyer Jim Bopp joins us to talk about an effort in Missouri to legalize abortion right up to the moment of birth. And we'll be right back after the news when we take the top of the hour news break. So stay tuned, and we'll be back soon. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
A lot of the cities and the counties around have initiatives for artists. I think we're one of the premier artist suppliers for steel. First Saturday of every month, you can come down early and actually go through the scrap yard across the street. It's 7 acres of metal. You can walk through with our people and pick out what you want. It's always interesting to see what the artists have done. We've done actually a couple projects with the U of A Engineering Department and Music Department, where the engineering music students came down together. They had to pick something out of the scrap, and they had to build an instrument. And we have one of those in front of the plant. Some really cool things come out of the scrap.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
Perfection Theater presents Snow White.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who has the sweetest ride of them all?
It once was you, but Snow White has a Maserati that's now the fairest and the fastest.
I will put an end to that.
The Evil Queen drove over to Snow White's cottage in her Ferrari F40.
I will finish her off once and for all.
The Evil Queen poured apple cider vinegar in her gas tank.
Can you dwarves help me? I need a push to Perfection Auto Works.
We're here to help you, Snow.
The Perfection mechanics cleaned the fuel lines, and Snow White was back on the road in no time. Snow White had had enough, so she headed to the Evil Queen's castle.
Pour apple cider vinegar in my gas tank. Why, I'll show you.
And the moral of the story? Perfection Auto Works is always there to make your automotive repairs come true. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.